Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie, and I am so happy to be here with you today on our first afternoon together in 2026. And thank you so much, BBS, for being on the playground with us. We love you, BBS. So 2026 is all set to be a journey of wisdom for Apple Pie Playground. Let's be inspired to play in new ways this year, understanding who we are as children of a source creator, right? Let's resolve ourselves to letting go of old habits and information, preferring to recognize truth and practice intuition, and use our energies, right, for a transformational year this year. How about that? I recently ran across a definition for wisdom as a process of learning, and I was completely taken in by this definition. It's a fascinating way to look at wisdom as a concept, in that the acquisition of wisdom is the highest form of learning. Now, the fascinating thing here is, once we begin to approach our understanding or our knowing through the practice of wisdom, we start working backwards, right? In the way we think, by aligning our experiences with the value judgments that we have and that we make about ideas and information and data, right? And essentially, we learn by our knowing what is relevant to furthering that knowing. Does that make sense? So let me give you an example. We know that nobody can heal us but us, right? It is a truth, friends. It is a truth. It is wisdom to know such a thing, right? Analyzing that statement through wisdom means we align what we know with our experiences and our value judgments. And then we choose the information that will answer our questions according to those values and experiences. And that means we're using information that aligns with our knowing, right? To fill in the gaps of the information that we need when we have questions. So once we are aligned, we can apply information to learning how to self-heal, for example. Does that make sense? And we can apply that learning, right, with respect to what it means for us to self-heal and how to achieve it for our bodies. Right? I am so in love with this guidance, and I'm so excited to use it as we explore topics in 2026. You know, when I think about it, my passion for doing a radio show was to share, really, as authentically as I possibly could, topics for healing the spirit and liberating the mind and finding our way back to inalienable human freedoms again, you know, by experiencing ideas the way our inner child does and allowing ourselves to have those difficult conversations together that come with the ways we experience being human and the ways we connect with our source creator. And we know how simple our way back into alignment is with our source creator. And we know that it's so simple that it can be complicated sometimes. And we know that our way back is by inviting source energy into the body. And we talk about that all the time. It is ever present on our minds, friends. It is a duty to our spirits to perform that task every day in every way that we move through our day. And we know this. And at the same time, we're humans with a history of a brain that works overtime to complicate things that should be easy for us, right, as spirits. So I wanted to provide something of a safety net, right? To provide safety that we might need to talk about things that really matter to our hearts. And I'm so excited to begin a new year with you doing those things in even more creative ways, right? And that's a very exciting thing for me. This year, let's unburden our hearts, friends. Let's learn how to love ourselves with self-care and compassion and find our way back to our creative child natures. And let's add to our notebooks ways to live healthier lives. There are so many powerful ideas coming out about self-care and self-love and health and wellness in a truly evolving age of natural medicine and spiritual growth and community development and sovereign expressions of our freedoms. And so much we're learning about how to care for ourselves and our bodies and realizing that they are self-healing. It is a truth. And so Plato said something like, learning is just remembering. And that sticks with me. We're just remembering what we used to know, friends. And we are recalling our wisdom back to us as we align our mind and our body and our spirit with the values that we hold. Those values can reshape a world in disrepair, right? Our wisdom remembered can, inform us how to make better decisions for a better human experience. All of this I learned from a single powerful definition, and I wanted to share it with you. And what are things we need to remember, friends? Are you surprised to know that our bodies are made to heal themselves, entirely self-healing in our original human blueprint? So you might ask yourself, well, then, why don't they heal themselves now? Or why do we have such limitation on our healing, right? And it's a fair question. It's a matter of something most people don't grasp yet. Right? It's something that eludes people who are just trying to survive out there, who aren't waking, right? Who aren't waking. What eludes most of us? Healing our own bodies, like so many other truths, is a matter of freedom, friends. It's a matter of freedom, everyone. It's a matter of breaking out of what enslaves us. Bodies don't heal in large part because everything in our environment essentially works to kill us, to make us sick, to take our energy, to take our life force by toxins or environmental poisons or unhealthy food or unclean water. We could go on and on. And have we ever really stopped to think about how ridiculous it is that many of us have to buy water? Because what comes out of our sinks is so unhealthy. And that is an absurdity that we don't even bother with anymore. We just go, we just buy the water because we know we can't drink it out of our sinks, right? It's just something we do, and we don't even really scrutinize that anymore. And we don't really think about the fact that there's a whole aisle at Walmart dedicated to selling water. That's all around us, right? It's so strange, right? And it's sort of shocking if we just stop to just think about it for a second. But many of us aren't learning life's lessons through wisdom right now, exactly. Through remembering what we already know and applying those values to demand the change that we really, really need, to do the work of alignment. And we work so hard to pull light energy into our bodies because it also pulls in remembering, right? Our awakening. It's the remembering we need to realize that we have to demand a better world for the extraordinary beings that we are. Our light demands alignment with a natural world, a balanced ecosystem, right? A harmonious living environment, relationships that are compassionate and empathetic, joyful play, passionate work. But it's up to us, friends, right, to demand a return to what our spirits need to heal the human body. But the exciting thing is that we are perfectly positioned this year to really achieve all of those things. And it is our progress to make, friends, all of us together. We are standing on the precipice of extraordinary evolution. If we'll trust ourselves and become curious about the systems controlling us and the level of our well-being, there's a system everywhere for everything we do controlling us and how we function. We need to become curious about that and find the determination maybe to demand change in things that don't serve us. Believe it or not, our energetic practices and the work we put into a life that is balanced and at peace goes a long, long way to revealing the healthy lifestyle that a human body needs. And by the way, the freedoms we need for bodies hosting sovereign spirits. We are sick and in decline because our social environment is sick and in decline. Our natural world is sick and in decline, friends. Do you see the parallel? Do you see that the analogy moves across all manner of introspection about the world we live in, right? So it's something to think about. So, speaking of the new year, right? We know that our new year is embedded with a lot of manipulating dates and times, right? A lot of manipulation there with respect to our dates and our times and our calendars. And maybe we're okay with that for today, right? A lot of hardcore practitioners out there will tell us that living by time is something of a timeline trap. And it is, friends. It is. Time is a ready-made opportunity for manipulation by forces that we don't see that really do affect us profoundly, okay? Because it's a human thing, time, right? It's an aspect of the physical world and our quantum experience here in this physical human world, and something highly, highly manipulated. And we get it, right? By everybody, everywhere, by the way, everybody. Okay, everybody's got a piece of the pie when it comes to time. Okay, everybody's manipulating it everywhere, along with a lot of other things. So please, please forgive me Okay, because I want to share something super fun about a different new year coming up. Okay, the Lunar New Year. And it begins on February 17th this year. And the reason I'm sharing is because it's the year of the fire horse. Okay, the year of the fire horse. As a matter of fact, it's a double fire horse. Okay. That is our lunar cycle, the double fire horse. Very, very energetic, from what I understand. Okay. So, according to this year's cycle, what we saw last year as a lot of change and a lot of chaos and growth and preparation and struggle will actually bear fruit in 2026 in this cycle of the fire horse. Okay. This year is a year of big, big energy. When you talk to any of the healing arts, martial arts practitioners, they are super excited by the big energies coming in this year. It's a year of action. A year of opportunity to put what we learned last year to use and to gain from our growth, right? But we have to be ready. Okay, we have to be ready to receive and accept and activate good things coming our way. That's what the cycle says, anyway, right? That's what the cycle says. And according to this cycle, opportunities will emerge from our growth and its struggles into a perfect position, right, for greater freedoms and quick turnarounds and big opportunities, right? And we can see rapid progress in our efforts, right? It's what everybody's saying, at least. So I don't want to sound like a fortune teller, and I don't want to sound like I'm, reading horoscopes or anything like that. Certainly, I don't want to do that. So please forgive me if that's what it sounds like. It's just something fun to think about. And if you went through a lot of struggle last year, and so many of us did, so many of us just walked through the mud and the muck for an entire painful year, lots of change and lots of transformation last year. If that's so, then we are in a great position to ride the fire horse this year, as it were, if you want to. So we know that information really is only as powerful as we make it, right? And that what we focus on is really the reality that we create for ourselves, and that the truths of a lunar new year, right, are only as real, maybe as we want them to be. And we know all of that. And we know that how we look at things develops our reality and changes with every breath that we take, right? And we really know that the one truth about change is that breath is our change. And if we truly understood the message that every time we breathe, that is a total change of everything in our reality, right? We would know that change is really just a breath away. And so, with the idea that we aspire to wisdom in our decision making this year, I want to start with a topic many of us understand and may struggle with, right? As we think about where we are in our life experiences, I want to talk about a topic that affects many of us in many different ways. And even the best adjusted and most grounded of us might experience bouts of loneliness. Loneliness. I want to talk about it. And let's think about how we can observe what loneliness might feel like to us. Okay? and see if there are ways to treat our lonely tendencies as we jump on our fire horse this year and ride out into opportunity. Right? We want to walk out of loneliness and into a year of engagement and collaboration and service, right? These are places where loneliness can't thrive. So what will get us there, friends? Let's talk about it. So did you know that there are as many, if not more, than 12 different kinds of loneliness listed in psychological circles? 12 different kinds of loneliness. Now, we're not going to get that granular, okay? We're not going to go there. But we do know that there are times of aloneness, times of aloneness that we have that are, you know, being alone but not feeling lonely. It's the gift that a balanced mind, body, and spirit creates for us when we can spend time alone and be nurtured by it. And we call it times of aloneness, right? Alone time. And aloneness is really, really important for us. And hopefully, you know, we set aside some alone time every single day, even if it's just for a few minutes. It allows for so much immediate connection to ourselves and our heart space and our mindfulness and our source and our spirit all together, right? Our life force. But what if we experience a sense of loneliness outside of intentional alone time, or what we call healthy aloneness, right? What does that mean for us? Have we thought about it? Are we stuck in the undermining effect of loneliness that has us questioning our own self-worth, maybe? Have we ever thought about it that way? Our underlying discontent when we feel lonely? Are we, you know, maybe reaching for something that would make us more of who we think we need to be, right? In other things or other people that we're reaching for? Or are we filling our beingness with the energy of others to make us feel whole rather than filling ourselves, friends? And these feelings come to us all, don't they? And I think about the COVID era and the stepping out of a lot of folks who walked into an enlightened path during that time, and they led the way really for humanity with inspired action and truth-telling and holding energies for a world in crisis. And I think a lot about those folks, and even those beautiful folks experienced a lot of loneliness, and sometimes deeply, because so few were spread so far apart across the planet and spread out probably on purpose, right? And even they experience loneliness and likely still do at times. So, you know, we all have good work to do when those feelings come up, right? When they come on us, don't we? To recognize them and understand what might be going on and to check up on our self-care. And of course, there are other kinds of loneliness attached to those kinds of enlightened experiences. A lot of work going on there. And so we'll leave those ideas for another time. But let's really think about the idea of self-care and how that plays into feelings of loneliness. We may not have put those two ideas together. And it may be something of a new concept to think about loneliness in those terms. Loneliness is one of those feelings we desperately want to fix, right? loneliness. We want to alleviate that kind of heavy feeling, that kind of emptiness. And we'll talk about that, about what it is we're really trying to fix, maybe. And so, did you know that there is a thing called transient loneliness? Yeah, there is. It comes and goes, right? It comes and goes. And any of us feeling lonely, maybe on Sunday mornings, for example, well, that's a kind of transient loneliness. It's there sometimes, but not most of the time. And it comes and it goes, and we move through feelings and then they go away. And that is something of a Sunday morning transient loneliness, if you've ever felt that one. And then there's situational loneliness, okay, where it is determined by the situations that we are in. And one example among many, many, many examples is just, for example, let's say that you're eating alone for lunch at your new job, and you're a new employee, and you still don't know anybody, and you're there at the table alone for a while, and it's been a week or so, and that's a situational kind of loneliness for you. And perhaps it is a temporary experience that you will work through and be able to alleviate as time goes by, right? So that's a situational loneliness. And did you know, okay, on the other end of the spectrum, okay, the other extreme of loneliness, there's even a loneliness called hikikomori, okay? Hikikomori. It's a Japanese term for total social withdrawal, okay? The other side of the spectrum. And Japan is really seeing a big increase in this, right? A lot of this social withdrawal, right? And we might think of it as hermeticism, you know, folks who just live completely off the grid alone, right, in an extreme way. And so these folks are staying in their homes for many, many months at a time. Many months at a time. And so there's a spectrum of humans feeling alone in many, many different ways. And if you can imagine it, in this big, crowded, busy, noisy world, right? All of this loneliness that we feel. And so if you feel lonely at times, friends, you're not alone. You're not alone in that. We are all feeling loneliness in different ways. And so I wonder if you would believe me if I told you that feelings of loneliness may not necessarily be about needing to connect with others as much as it is about needing to connect with ourselves. I'm wondering if you would believe me telling you that. And I wonder if we can talk about that. Can we take a look together at what might be missing in our lives when, you know, maybe we experience the kind of loneliness that affects us day after day, right? The kind of loneliness that has us maybe judging ourselves or feeling empty inside or having a great longing that we can't get rid of. And it has us longing for more in our lives that we don't seem to have, and we feel kind of empty. And so just as a side note, maybe, and maybe an important one, actually, do we know that deep loneliness is actually a chronic stressor in our bodies? Do we know that? And deep loneliness, right, increases, and I'm quoting, risks for depression, anxiety, dementia, heart disease, stroke, premature death, I don't want to scare anybody. I'm just quoting, while also disrupting sleep, weakening immunity, and causing chronic inflammation in our bodies. So that's a lot of stress, right? That is a lot of stress. That is a lot of health risk just by loneliness. Loneliness. Can we believe that? Did we know that, friends? We're talking about a real health condition, aren't we? Loneliness is not just a feeling, friends, sometimes. It's a condition of our health. Have we ever thought about it that way? Let's take a look at that. So I'm reading some information, right, that I have. It's research on loneliness. And there are mental and emotional effects of loneliness that really take a toll on us. Okay? Depression and anxiety, right? Loneliness raises the risk and severity of depression and anxiety, right? It puts us into a mental health cycle, right? That makes connection even harder. And there is such a thing as cognitive decline with loneliness, right? It impairs concentration, decision making, problem solving, and it increases the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's, if you can believe that. Low self-esteem and low self-worth, okay? Feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, lack of purpose, okay? And then there's stress and what's called rumination. And it triggers stress responses, high cortisol in the body, right? It encourages cycling negative thoughts around and around and around in the brain. That is a lot of negative impact created by loneliness, friends. Do we know what cortisol is? Cortisol is the primary stress hormone in the body. Chronic stress is the result of the body relying on cortisol for too long, right? It's overtaxing the body, and symptoms appear: inflammation, fatigue, weight gain, hypertension, decreased immune systems, depression. Okay, this is what we're doing to our bodies. Who knew that loneliness and weight gain had anything to do with one another, right? Who knew that loneliness and inflammation and fatigue had anything to do with each other? But they do. And so, can we see that putting on that jacket and getting out for a walk might heal more than just the need for exercise, friends? Right? And we'll talk about that in just a bit. It might be worth thinking about. And there are behavioral changes that come with loneliness. Lethargy, right? Decreased energy, lack of motivation, difficulty getting out of bed and getting things done, maladaptive coping, right? It increased alcohol and drug use, excessive diversions like TV watching, overspending. And here's one that I found particularly interesting, craving warmth, like actually craving physical warmth, like needing to put blankets on or coats and jackets, drinking hot drinks. Now think about that. Craving warmth, craving hot drinks, and you know where my mind goes, right? You know what my suspicions are then about the popularity of Starbucks, right? Where we can get something hot, made just the way we like it, where drinks are made to order, and baristas, you know, they write funny faces on our coffee cups, right? So it makes me wonder, what are we really buying coffee for, friends? Right? What are we buying coffee for? And that's a lot of people who might be buying coffee as an alternative motive for something like loneliness, right? It's a little something to think about, maybe. So, what's missing from the picture when we feel alone and lonely? And yes, many of us crave the company of people we love, right, who might be far away. But is that what we're really talking about here? Are we really talking about being homesick? Or are we talking about feeling empty and discontented from a world that we want to engage and people we want to include in our lives? Right? But we just can't connect. Right? Do we feel alone in a room of people? Are we, trying to interact with others? And are those interactions unsatisfying? Do we feel abandoned or misunderstood when we feel lonely? Let's break this down, right, into parts that actually might surprise you. Let's do something of a deep dive into loneliness. It might actually shock you, taking a look at it, to realize that loneliness is not so much about missing the company of people we love, but it might be about something a whole lot more dense in our emotional conception of who we are and how we treat ourselves and the self-care that we provide ourselves, if you can imagine that having anything to do with loneliness. So I want to talk about the hardest kind of loneliness to feel, okay? And I don't mean being alone or alone time or necessarily being isolated physically. I'm talking about the kind of loneliness you feel in a crowded room where there's no one to reach out to and nothing to say, right? I want to talk to those of us who live without a support system of people who surround us with love and affection, in one way or another. Let's talk about how it feels to know there's nobody on the other end of the line, friends, right? Let's talk about how it feels to know, right, that we have no connections to step into when we need a difficult conversation. And that's a tough one. To know that reaching out is such a complication that we just don't try anymore. Do you feel that way, friend? And if you do, I really, really understand where you're coming from. And are we brave enough to talk about these ways of being lonely that underlie such deep feelings that we have of separation? And are we willing to walk ourselves out of those feelings? And will we take a few steps together here to see if maybe we can talk through the ideas of being overlooked and unsupported and unimportant and unloved? And there are so many of us who came out of the COVID era fighting the system, as it were. We became different people, really, and we kind of started our walk on paths toward a different purpose. And so even now we feel loneliness for others like us who are out there scattered about. And so let's hold the intention together that one day we will find each other, each of us, with his tribe or her tribe. But that kind of loneliness, friends, is really not what I want to talk about today, right? I want to talk about something a little different. I want to talk about the cycle of loneliness, right, that I call it, that we might find ourselves in off and on or chronically. The self-denial cycle of loneliness. Right? The self-denial cycle of loneliness. It's a little different than missing our friends or loved ones, right? It shapes us a little differently, and we tend to want to look outward and ask, why am I so lonely? I don't deserve to be without a support system or without friends or without someone to love. And we're tempted to enter into a practice of blaming, right? We blame a cruel world, or we ask, where is God? Or we wonder if we're even worth loving. And would it surprise us and maybe even upset us a little bit to discover that this kind of loneliness is a kind of self-abandonment? Self-abandonment. And so we say, really? Well, why would that be the case? But sometimes loneliness is an emotional neglect that's really deeper than wanting other people's company. Sometimes it's a matter of something else entirely. It's about giving up our own needs and feelings and values. And those things add up to self-abandonment. Okay? Our inner selves, our true selves, have given of itself so that it's empty. And it's not hard to look out at a chaotic world full of people doing crazy things and feel fairly alienated. But to feel that way regularly and to feel it as a response to challenges we have in our daily lives takes on a completely different meaning, okay? Research tells us that loneliness often comes from old experiences where our needs weren't met. And we're still subconsciously trying to meet these needs as a matter of affection or connection or love. Can we see how that might be true? And therefore, we bring about a self-abandonment when we empty ourselves of self-love, trying to find connections that we can't bring into ourselves. So what are some behaviors that might bring on loneliness and that maybe we don't realize? And you can think about maybe how many of these might apply to our own situation at times. So what does self-abandonment look like? It is a term that is used to describe the psychology of chronic loneliness, okay, self-abandonment. What might it look like? Well, ignoring our feelings, numbing out with distractions and diversions, right? Instead of going within and acknowledging painful emotions and giving ourselves that time and effort and self-love, to do the work, we're neglecting our needs, we're failing to advocate for ourselves, and this is a big one, you know, or to take loving action for our own well-being, the self-care of standing up for ourselves, right? We might be people-pleasing, making other folks' needs more important than our own, right? Or we may be expecting others to fix our feelings, to make things better for us. These are all ways that we might be taking on a self-abandonment. We might be internalizing blame, right? Judging ourselves instead of offering ourselves compassion. We can be our own worst judges. We might be in emotional withdrawal or spacing out or staying in our head, and our head is just rolling around, right? Rather than trying to be calm and quiet and connect with our own spirit. So here's an example of the self-denial cycle at work, okay? We lose our agency through the things we just talked about. When we abandon our needs or our values or our self-interests, and then we blame ourselves for not being good enough to connect with others, and not being good enough creates a fear of abandonment, which actually becomes behavioral, right? We distance ourselves even farther from people, or we allow them to mistreat us, right? And we long for connection, but the cycle makes it an unhealthy connection or an impossible connection where we just can't connect with others, right? Which makes us even lonelier. We are looking for others to meet our needs when we should be meeting them. We are disconnecting from others because we can't connect with ourselves, essentially. We have made ourselves feel invisible, and therefore it might be that others are treating us as though we are invisible. And something my father always used to say, you will teach people how to treat you. And it's very, very true. For better or worse, it's such a truth, right? It's such a truth. Does that make sense? We have disappeared from ourselves, right? And we call it loneliness, a projection of our experience onto others when we are empty inside. And we call it loneliness. Do we see the cycle? So a question might be, how do we break this cycle that we might be in? How do we rid ourselves of loneliness, this chronic feeling of emptiness? Well, there are a few ways that psychology looks at and that research has outlined. And one thing is to strengthen and nurture the relationships that we have now. That's one way to break a cycle of loneliness, to strengthen those relationships that we have now. Find our agency in those relationships and balance them in the way that we meet our needs and the way that we value our priorities. Okay, that's one way to break the cycle of self-abandonment that we call loneliness. Another way is to discover ourselves again. You know, have we forgotten our passions? You know, what are our inspirations? What are our interests? Are we participating in those things? Do we know what they are? Have we lost ourselves and forgotten what they are? Are we not doing those things in our day to move into our passions and inspirations and interests? Why aren't we pursuing them, right? The idea here is to rediscover you. Do something every day to connect you with yourself, with your joys, your inspirations, your comforts, your needs, your purpose, right? And another way that we can break this cycle is to venture into activities that provide growth and inspiration. Get out more, right? Even if it's alone, even if it's just a walk down the lane or down the street, right? The world needs your interaction to reciprocate. Does that make sense? The world needs your interaction to reciprocate with you, to give you what you would receive as you give, right? To give back. Another thing that is important, and I've read it everywhere, and I would not have known to put it on my list, get off of social media. Limit your activity on social media. It provides a false sense of connection in almost every single way that we use social media, because we can rarely grow toward intimacy in healthy ways online, right? We can rarely find the intimacy that we are desperate for. And as a matter of fact, as we develop connections that we perceive of as connections on social media, we begin to yearn for an intimacy that we just can't create with the limitations that we have online. So limit your activity for 2026. We would all benefit from it. We would all benefit. And the last thing on the list is remember our practices of being consciously present as we go through our day. Practice allowing the unfolding of life 1 minute at a time. We know this conceptually, but do we really do it? Right? Mindfulness stops a racing mind and allows the slow pace of observation to replace a quick reaction, right? Or a ready judgment. And by the way, the cortisol we talked about rebalances as we move through habits of mindfulness and mindful meditation and sitting quietly, right? Conscious awareness repairs a great deal of what goes into loneliness. And in that way, I want to talk a little bit more about number five. I want to recommend someone to you who is a true master in mindfulness and in Vipassana or insight meditation, okay? Insight meditation. It's a meditation that teaches us quiet observance and deep connection with the embodied spirit, right? With the spirit embodied within us and being connected with that spirit as we perform meditation that is an observance of how that spirit is moving within. Let me recommend her meditations. You can find them online and her books. She teaches fearlessness in our journey into our knowing. Her name is Pema Chodron. She writes about loneliness and she describes it thusly, okay? And I quote, "To be without a reference point is the ultimate loneliness. It is also called enlightenment," which is it's an amazing kind of a defining of loneliness. It causes us to really think very, very differently about our good work of going within. The key is fearless compassion for the self as we choose not to grasp at connection, right? Not to grasp at connection with anything or anyone. As a matter of fact, we let go of what we perceive as needs that we have. And we know, right, that allows connection to come to us. As we let go, we know that connection will come to us. And we stop grasping, right, for the security and the self-satisfaction of connecting. And we produce from them a state of being within, right? And we know that being full of these things will attract more to us. And it's always renewing these aspects as inner work of the self and not outer work, right? The outer work belongs to others to offer us. And so it's up to us to do the inner work, right? The inner work. Does that make sense? She calls this practice the middle way of being. She calls it the process of becoming unstuck. And so I highly recommend those ideas. Pema Chodron, and she talks about loneliness in a lot of places. Speaking of becoming unstuck, you want to do a short activity that might point us in a direction for becoming unstuck a little bit? Let's do a short activity together before we end our time that helps us identify the nature of any loneliness we might have and what we might do about it. You want to? All we need is something to write with and something to write on. And some of us keep a notebook. And if you'd rather just listen, that's okay too. Let's grab our pen and paper. We don't want to leave anybody behind. And let's do an activity called New Mood Playlist. Okay? new mood playlist. We're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to make a playlist of songs. Okay. The titles of which we will make up as we go along. Okay. So we're going to make up our own titles to this playlist. We'll make up our song titles as we work through the activity together. Okay. We're going to envision the melody of each song in our heads and move to the melody that we hear or we feel. Okay. So let's think about this in terms of song titles, right? And envisioning the melody of each of the songs in our head, and then moving to those songs with respect to what we hear and what we feel. All right? We're going to let our inner child out to play a little bit. Be brave and give it a try. So on your piece of paper, make two columns, okay? Make two columns for our new mood playlist activity. Label the first column song titles, okay? Song titles. And label the second column tell me more, all right? Tell me more. Two columns. The first column is song titles, and the second column is tell me more, right? And we're going to jot down some observations. So as I describe a scenario, you're going to create a song title. So try to go with the first thing that comes to mind, right? If you're looking for the truest expression of what you're feeling, or you can get really creative, liven up your titles if you want to. That's up to you. So let's get started, right? Let's do one scenario at a time. You'll create a song title, and then I'll ask you to tell me more in column two. Right? So here's the first question for your song title, your first song title. What is a song title for my level of loneliness right now? What is your song title? Write it down in column number one. What is a song title for your level of loneliness right now? And in column two, tell me more about that title. What is the melody? What is the beat? What are some of the words? Tell me more about that level of loneliness. You got it? Tell me more. Okay, question number two. What is a song title that describes how well you provide self-care and compassion to yourself? What is a song title that describes how well you provide your own self-care and compassion for you? Okay? First thing that comes to mind. And then tell me more about that song. Any words, any phrases, any lyrics? Is there a melody? Right? What's the beat? Right? Okay. Number three. What is a song title that depicts the perfect connection between yourself and others that would alleviate any loneliness in your life right now? What is a song title that depicts the perfect connection between you and somebody else that would alleviate the kind of loneliness you're feeling in your life right now? What is your song title? And tell me more in column two. Tell me more. And now, what is a song title that reflects your current state of inner peace or harmony between your mind, body, and spirit? What are you feeling right now inside? What's a song title that reflects your current state of inner peace? What is that title? And column two, tell me more. And the very last one, what is a song title that illustrates your plan to address any self-abandonment you might feel right now. What is a song title that will address any sense of self-abandonment right now? And tell me more about it. Tell me more. And so maybe this activity is something we can think about this week and go back and revisit and maybe fill in some ideas on your paper and make some progress in becoming unstuck, as Pema Chodron might say, where we might be, you know, in our lives and our loneliness, of providing a little better self-care for ourselves and working through some of the suggestions for alleviating loneliness, right, when it drops into our lives. And I'm so glad we could do an activity together. And I really, really enjoyed this particular one because it was so very, very clarifying for me. And if you pulled out your notebook today, thank you so much for being brave. And hopefully we had a little fun thinking about what can be a serious topic in our journey to wisdom. But now it is time for me to head home, friends, and I can't wait to join you again on Playground next week. Thank you so, so much, BBS, and we love, 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 love you. And so, friends, until next time.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.